It was a part of the city that related very closely to the entire city.
But it was a community in itself.
The church was really a community. The church community, and the majority of the people, well, as far as I know, covered a pretty good sized area.
Would they commute in, the church people commute? I mean, how would they be people that live near the church? Or
the
would
majority
they,
of them.
Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't be suburban, that kind of thing wouldn't be there.
No.
You lived around the church where you attended and...
We lived around, but a pretty wide area. Because when my mother did this calling once a year, Dad would take her a lot of times in the evening.
She would call on...
She called on the families of all of the children in her, in her primary department once a year. Every year.
And he'd take her with
and
him.
So
oh, she'd take
her. He'd go with her in the evening. She couldn't get it done in the daytime.
What were some of the other activities? They had their picnics a couple times a year. And Sunday school on Sundays.
Yes, and they had young people sit there Sunday evening. I just don't think I remember a lot of
on that
time. I remember getting together. I don't remember that the women had an organization as such.
This is the congregation
yeah,
church, not
as
there.
Such. Now, they probably did. But I don't remember about that part of it. I don't think my mother was very active in that. They probably did, because out of that, mother worked for the Florence Crittenden Home, and I think that came out of her activities with the church.
Mm. The Unwed Mother tent.
Yeah. See, that wasn't too far from where this church was located. It was on the same street.
Mm-hmm.
It still is. And so I think those kind of activities all came out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And go to where else could come.
The Crittenden Home. The Crittenden Home is Lutheran now.
No.
Begun, isn't it?
I don't know if it began it. I think it was just community.
What community?
You see, it had its own board, and I think it was, they never got any funds from Community Justice because they refused to reveal the name of the girls.
So they were anonymously there.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know who really started it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But everything supported that every denomination.
Would that be a controversial thing at that time, or was it?
Well, I don't know. It might have been, but it wasn't controversial as far as our family was concerned. So I don't know.
Your mother was just volunteering time there and working there.
Well, she did that, and she went to church. She worked for the girls on the regular lunch day.
Mm-hmm.
She went once a week out there and taught the girls Spanish for out to the town of the riot.
She was involved with women's activities quite a bit then.
She formed
girls and the life kittens and the teaching of children and the working with mothers.
But there was never any thought of a career.
Was she volunteer?
And my sister and I laugh to this day. You know, her theory was that you've got your kitchen floor swept and your dishes done before you went out and did anything for the community. Today, my sister, every once in a while, I'll say, well, wait a minute, I got to get the kitchen floor swept before I can go.
And you can go out and volunteer.
You take care of your family first. You see. And then you do this other. And it's your responsibility to do both. But you've got to take care of the family first.
What would your mother do with the two small children while she was volunteering? Or did you go with her to the places, like to the reform school and the Florence Crittenden?
No.
You
no,
stayed
with
a friend?
No, I didn't go to it. When she went to the reform school, she had a woman that would come to the house, and she was supposed to do the ironing and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. The day mother would go out to the and then later, as I got a little older, then I could take care of her. Because in the summertime, she went to stay at least. But she just went one day.
Just one day.
Just one day.
Do you remember anything about that woman? Was she a professional housekeeper? Would she go to different houses and clean
the
house?
I don't know. Just somebody that was good with a little
staff. So she that took care her. Of the child,
yeah,
mainly,
that was her
and
then
did the ironing.
Yeah. She never did the fancy ironing. She was good with plain ironing.
And this was just one day a week, kind of
one day a week. Yeah, one day a week.
When you remember the church, what was the role of men and women in the churches? What kind of functions did the women have, and what kind of functions did the men have?
I don't know that I can answer all of that. The women played a very great part of the church, mm-hmm. but the men did too. I think the men largely took care of the money, mm-hmm. and the women probably were raised, but I don't remember that part.
Mm-hmm.
But the promotion of all of the children's work and all of that kind of thing were done by the men, by the women. I think if I now like the superintendent of the church school was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I can remember that was because he was a husband of a very good friend of my mother's, and their name was the same. He was Lenore and she was Lenore. And his wife didn't go and my father didn't go. So all of them, you see. But there was, I think there was sort of that kind of a relationship. There was, in the congregational church, there was a good deal of study.
Hmm.
You know, they were always into one thing or another.
Would you have study curriculum materials like we have?
Oh,
that
yes.
Adults would take home and read?
Well,
or?
I don't remember that part of it, but I'm sure that they had it.
Uh-huh.
But they had the very latest. All
sorts of
children.
Mm-hmm. Children was emphasized.
Well, it wasn't as far as we were concerned. Now somebody else was doing something else.
But you remember that part of it.
That part of it was emphasized
in our family. What about, if you remember when you were younger, the worship services, what part did the women play and what part did the men play?
Well, I don't remember that the women played any part in the worship service.
So the ushers would be
the singing.
Men. The women would be singing in the choir maybe too?
Yeah.
Or?
The women were never ushers. I don't remember that they ever took any part in it.
What were some of your impressions of the minister when you were a child? What kind of feelings did you have about the minister?
The ministers of our church were all of the real close friends of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I can remember was an old Welshman.
Describe how he looked. What were the ministers?
He looked like a great, deep, old Welshman, and he spoke with a Welsh accent.
Uh-huh.
And his son was a music teacher, and I took piano lessons from him. He had graduated from Eton and then graduated from Switzerland. And they were really very interesting, very interesting family. And that's the first minister that I can remember. But he was in and out of our house. He and my father were awfully good friends.
Was he warm or cold?
Oh, yes, very.
You had good feelings and remembrances of the minister.
Very good, sure, when it came time to have our own son baptized, we had him baptized at home, and I sent for that minister. He came down to Los Angeles.
And this was the minister from your childhood that you
remember? My childhood. Then the next one that we had that I remember, I don't know what was the next one or not, but the next one that I remember, was a man that later became a judge.
Hmm.
And he refused to take a salary from the church.
Hmm.
He said Christ didn't pay preacher money and he wasn't going to. That it was his free will offering, whatever the church wanted him to give, all on good. Well, you know, you just can't run a church that way. It doesn't work. He didn't have the money for the light bill or anything else, I guess. So he said it would either work that way or he would go into another profession. And so he went into law. And became a good judge.
Hmm. And this is when you were maybe...
I don't know. It was before I went to high school. Mm-hmm. But that man was a friend of my father's and mother's for as long as he lived.
Hmm. So your family was close to the ministry.
Yeah.
Even though your father didn't go to church, he was friends with the ministry.
Well, he could talk back and forth to a man.
They were man-to-man talk.
Yeah. And they argued with a political situation. Go to church and somebody just preach it, and then he had to take it and not let them have any answer to it. That just didn't go. He'd do it someplace else, but he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But play that way. So the sisters, well, my mother was just happy because she would ask sometimes a very embarrassing question.
But he would go to the picnic.
Oh, yeah.
And to the fun.
Anything that needed his support. And his excuse for not going to church that day was somebody else, you know, put the rose down. But it was real fun. Even though he didn't go to church, it was a family. He would never
have
gone to church.
His sister wasn't his Methodist. When you got into the Methodist church, was there any difference in the way that you remember any differences between the congregation and the Methodist church in those times?
No, very similar.
It was very similar in the organization and in the people and in the activities? And
well, of course, the reason I got into it is because this particular ministry was social activism.
Ah.
Yes, that was what...
That's what lured you.
That's what had an important lure to get in. Both of them. And because he was getting so much flack and so much criticism.
He wanted to get in rather than cheering on the sidelines.
Sure. So but I didn't see much better.
And the roles of men and women in the Methodist church at the beginning, as you remember, was that much different than in the past?
No. It seems to me that that you were always asked to be something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hadn't hardly got a seat one before I was supposed to be the secretary of the official board or something, or whatever it was. I don't remember. But, you know, I think that there were, women were very active, but they certainly weren't preaching, and they certainly weren't taking part in that. Once again, it was largely through church school. And then the Methodist women did have their organization, their women's organization.
And was that unusual, or was the Methodist church the only one that had it?
I don't know.
But you do remember that they had it. They had them.
I think the congregational church must have had it, but it wasn't my mother's meeting, and I didn't know anything about it. But I'm sure they must have had it, because they had all these symptoms.
But they had it. Did you ever hear tell of any women ministers around that time? That just was not even, even there.
Women weren't particularly interested. They were awfully busy, and they just really weren't particularly interested. I think that's the difference between before World War II and after World War II. Now, I can remember during the Depression, when no one was really working full-time, and even school teachers, one friend of ours, he was a school teacher, he was coming to the Los Angeles, and they weren't making any teachers permanent. And there was real resentment on the part of all, practically all of them, if two people in the family were working. You see, it was, what you were really doing was taking somebody else's job.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was the feeling. I don't think this was particularly true.
But that
was the feeling.
And this was pre-World War II?
Pre-World War II.
After the Depression
and all during the Depression. That feeling was very, very strong. It even went into the school system. It was so strong that I'm sure, I can't remember the exact how it worked, but I think that they refused to hire women if their husband was, they wouldn't hire two.
So most of the women who were your teachers, for instance, were single women.
Yes.
And who did not have working husbands.
And almost no men teachers. In elementary school.
You had women teachers then, and single women teachers.
Most of the single women.
So it was unusual for a man to be a teacher in elementary school.
It wasn't unusual in junior and senior high, but it was.
In junior and senior high then, was it a mixture of half men and half women teachers?
Yeah. And we did have some married teachers.
Married women.
I guess some of them were widows. But by the trust or muster. But there was some other, when Bill was at school, there were quite a number of those. But But also in that depression, there was a great deal of resentment. So there were so many that weren't being able to
find the word.
So there was really no, I think that she changed rapidly during the Second World War. Women went to work then at all kinds of jobs. They were never went back again. During the war, they held all kinds of jobs. And we began talking more about the careers of women. For instance, now this was during, this would have been later than the period you're talking about. But during the World War II, for instance, YWCA did an agricultural camp and we went up here in the valley and saved the apricots for the world. And I can remember that when the full sponsor and I that had one group of girls that we were that we had under our wing, we would talk to them during lunch periods. So we had all kinds of girls. We had girls who couldn't bring them before their physical examination, and you had girls who grew up in their own satellite.
What a diversity, huh?
Yeah, we had them. And we would be talking with them about their responsibility to an employer, what it meant to really work, and the kinds of things that girls could take on, and what their opportunities were. We had the, in our particular group, we had a daughter of the superintendent of the college, I guess, and we had all kinds of girls. But then you began stimulating girls to think that there were things that they could do.
What years would that be, number six?
Well, that was the early part of the war, which would have been about 41 or 2, or 41. Or maybe it was 3, I don't know. It was before the war was over.
In the midst of the war.
You see, the Albert Moore Park and all that. And the Methodist Church was deeply involved in this.
In this camping?
Well, they furnished the facility. The YWCA organized the camp and furnished the leadership. The state paid for all of us, all of a certain level of supervision. And the Little Methodist Church at Moore Park organized the feeding. And that man went into Ventura and got our meat and everything for us. And his wife organized the Women of the Methodist Church and it went into the junior high. And they did all the cooking. We served about 3 farms, 3 ranches out there. And you see what happened was the apricots would step off the ground and brought into the shed, and then the girls took the pits out and put them on to be trays in order to have them. And the entire crop was being taken by the government.
He
definitely wanted those got apricots.
Oh, for feeding of the troops?
Sure. So this was one place. And it was very successful. We had a little difficulty. We ranched, and Becky and I took our girls to. Was a good Christian. And he didn't want to pay the girls what we wanted, what we were demanding. And
Becky was?
Ramiz Nicholson was a friend of mine.
And this is who you went with?
Well, she and I. We were divided up. We had 2 supervisors and 2 assistant supervisors for each group. And she and I had one group. We slept in the high school, you know. And here we had these girls in a strange place. And we didn't know the girls didn't know the place. So she slept across one door and I slept across another door. And if they got out, they had to crawl over us.
And that worked pretty well.
Well, yeah, it worked pretty well. And the girls got off their home too.
How long a period would they go?
Oh, we were there for about 2 hours. We spent a little better than 2 weeks.
But you said something about the wages.
Well, you see, we had gone up there with a certain contract. And then after we got there, they wanted to make a small piece deal that they did just pay each girl. And girls didn't, well, this girl didn't do as much as this, and she didn't have much money. And of course, we didn't want to play that one. They said, I would take it. for that either. We're a purple home, but we're not going to play this one. Which meant that we really worked without a contract after the first day.
Uh-huh.
And, but we...
Did they buy that or did...
Well, two of them did, the third one didn't, but they had to go along.
We had to pay that.
Well, that's the group that we were with. We got through the Aid Cup, and we had promised the girls they came up there that they could stay there, whatever the length of time was. So, Ruth Lavinia, who was the daughter of Elizabeth Lincoln, after Albert Bell, went out and tried to find something else out there, something to work on. So there was a great big field of tomatoes that had to be planted. And so Ruth said, well, the girls could go out. And the boys said, oh, no, he said, yeah. The YMCA brought in the boys and had to go out. And they said, well, no, this is what's going to happen. We're talking about food. She said, you let us come for one more month. So then she said, yeah, 102 hours. And she said, you'll have to take the girls out. And they said, I said, I don't know how to plant a tomato. And she said, the bits of inches were already. So they taught us how to plant the tomatoes. And we taught the girls. And that guy, after the first morning, was so impressed. He said, he hired the girls for the rest of the time. And then that winter, he said, Bruce got the most beautiful bunch of tomatoes. He said, this is what your girls did. And he was just filled with tears at what they had done. But of course, they only did it because we just stood right over them.
Uh-huh.
You know? And
well, the girl, how did the girls like all of that? Were they?
Well, they loved it. They just loved
they,
it.
They had a job and they were being paid.
And they thought they were making a contribution.
A contribution. Uh-huh.
So we took largely high school girls. Mm-hmm. I don't think we had any college girls.
This would be in the 40s.
Yeah, this is before the close of the war. I don't think it was the first year of the war. But,
and back home, Bill would have been left. Bill would have left.
He was in the military.
He was in the war.
So he had been picked right up. He didn't have any training in the United States at all. So he was in Australia, New Zealand.
And so in the meantime,
he got back in 45, so it was between 43 and 45, probably around 43.
So between that time, you went out and did some many things.
Oh, yeah. But it was like, it was because why did you see a sponsor? It was because I was so crazy about going out and doing work. I can remember one remark of Ruth Lavinia after it was all over, after we set the girls off on that. Well, it was three of us that were board members that were out there. And Mrs. Edgerton was a board member, and somebody else, I don't remember who it was, so three board members. And two of us stayed after everybody else went home with the staff to wind everything all up. And I can remember we were staying. I watched her go to work, she's a volunteer. and that really was, you know, I really was always much more interested in that.
Doing it that way.
Yeah, doing it that way. I felt like, I guess I felt more like I was my own boy.
Nobody could tell you. If you wanted to, you could.
Yeah. Bishop can't send me a category. You know.
Right. That same kind of thing.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Tell me again how you got involved in the Y and about what time that happened. What was it that, because that was a big part of your life for a while.
I've been served on about 8 years or 8 years. Well, I got interested too. Once again, it came through the church. This Methodist minister.
The one who you jumped in to help?
Yeah. He said that he had never served a church that hadn't been connected with the YWCA, but their young people connected with the YW and the YM. So I looked into it because I had a Sunday school class and I thought, well, they probably need to be broadened out. They need to be connected with something else. And the Y at that time had a very large girls program. They don't have it so much now, but they had a very large girls program, teenage girls program.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the high school girls were getting all senior and senior high school, but largely high school girls.
Mm-hmm.
So it was through that kind of a connection, and then getting interested in the girls, and then going from that to Manchester, etc. the main area, and then up from there out of the door.
So it's through the kitchen kind of...
She turned the back doorway from the entrance in the church. And then the other entrance comes in there, part of the barracks. Mm-hmm. As soon as I was on the board, then I was interested in the part of the barracks. And my first day as a member of the board of directors of the Los Angeles YWCA was the day they were deciding to open their pool to all people. And it didn't go through very easily.
Well, do you remember any of that conversation?
I certainly do.
What was it like?
It was on the spot because I felt that it had to be done. It was my first day on the board, and this really monopolized the conversation. The first day on the board, and finally they argued it all morning, and then laid it on the table to be taken up later and prepared for the business. And they were about to adjourn. I really didn't know exactly how to handle the situation, but I knew it had to be done. So finally, I timidly said, Madam President, I think there is a right of the boy, it looks pretty, being killed, I would have been dead right then and there. But then they fought it out and extended it.
There was a lot of discussion.
Oh, sure.
Was it an all-white board of directors?
Well, it might have been at that time. It wasn't very much. It never was an all-white staff.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a what we call a Negro Renaissance Center.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had a Japanese home. So I don't remember about the board at that particular time. If it were all white, then it didn't stay that way very long.
And this would be again about 19...
Well, after in the late 30s, middle or late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went out of that board.
Was the Y a big part of the lives of the people? I mean, did almost everyone belong to the Y? Did working class people belong to the Y in Los Angeles about that time? Or were rich people, or poor people, middle class, educated, or what kind of people?
It was very much a
cross-section.
Very much a cross-section.
Was it expensive to belong to the Y?
No. I don't remember that it was very...
So it wasn't out of the way for a lot of
people? No, it was kept within reason. Within, there were some people that made large donations.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I remember when, after my husband died, one of the first things that they put me on to was we were having a reconstruction fund or something like that. So we were trying to raise a lot of money for the people I had to call. One of them gave $1,000, things like that. But that was unusual. We didn't get contributions very easily. No, it was very much a cross section.
I would come in.
I like that board was, and I think still is.
Mm-hmm. And the Y itself played an important part in that community of Los Angeles.
I think it did.
Would it be community services, mostly children, or did they have?
No, it wasn't mostly children. It was for a teenage. It had its teenage girls department. And staff.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to bring girls of all kinds, we tried to bring girls from all of the branches and everything together,
mm-hmm.
so that they had the experience and their processes. And the summer camp, we had a camping department, we had those things for young people. Then you had the public affairs, and you had the finance, you had one of those big fights that the Y made was on signing the loyalty oath.
Mm-hmm.
We refused at first, and then finally had to sign on the protest because we didn't have enough. We had carried it through the board, we carried it only by a majority of two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not enough. It really brings us forward. And that was the time I got real mad at Mrs. Kennedy. She was on board. And we were in Redmond at Annual Conference.
This is Dale Kennedy's wife?
Yeah. And we were at Annual Conference. And I had to leave Annual Conference and come into a special board meeting in order to vote. She stayed out there, but I had to come in in order to vote. And as I went, she said, "You stay with us together, hold their stand." And I said, "I'll do it with better grace when the Methodist Church does it."
This is the loyalty oath.
Yeah. There was only one church in this entire conference that was on loyalty. And so I said, "I'll do it with better grace when the Methodist Church does it."
Tell me more what the loyalty oath was. I'm just vaguely familiar with it.
Well, you had to sign that you weren't going to allow your premises. That no one on there was, really what it was loyalty to the United States. It was really an anti-communist thing is what it was. And it went against the grain terribly.
It kind of said God or country above anything?
Yeah, she said. That you didn't have any communists on your board and you could all storm something like that. Well, we couldn't say for sure that we didn't have some in our girls' work and in our young women's work. In fact, the matter is, I'm sure we did.
Was this during the McCarthy era?
Yeah, yeah.
Part of that.
All part of that.
Nixon and
Glass-Nixon,
yeah, part of that.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Purging the country of communists.
And I remember that I had to go down to the tax. You see, that had to do with tax exemption.
Hmm.
So you either did or you didn't get your tax exemption. So when we couldn't get, when we just passed it by the board by just two, and we didn't have the support from the Boondocks, we couldn't make a stand. And we felt that we hadn't done a good job of educating the forces. So a board can't stand alone in that way. So we had to rescind it and then vote just to sign on the protest. And I had to go down to the tax assessor's office or wherever I was.
In our conference at that time, all of the churches signed the oath but one, and so our conference supported signing the oath.
They gave lip service to not support it. Now there were two or three churches in San Francisco, that didn't sign. But there was only one church here, and that was a little bit of a
All the others said, we'll go along with it.
And the bishop didn't make any very he stood against it himself, but he didn't make any very good.
So our church wasn't right out in front on
no.
that one.
No.
We didn't, but evidently that was not thought of as that important, huh?
It wasn't thought of as that important. There was just this one church, and it was a little old church out. Didn't even exist. And that woman stood up before our annual conference.
But nominally, but you said verbally people didn't. They still let people come that they didn't purge their records of all people they thought were coming.
Well, they just didn't think they could stand at all. They were scared.
Didn't want to make a big fuss.
They didn't want to make a big fuss. Don't talk about that. Kind of like the farm workers.
But you were in there.
Well, it wasn't my church. It was my church signed up.
But as an individual, you kind of...
I'm working for it at the five stone churches. And we had more loose men.
Have you found yourself a lot of times in the social issues on the side of non-popularity?
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm very strong.
It's not a win.
But you see, the position that the wives, we had a large young adult and a lot of girls who were working in the
And some girls that were working in classified jobs, you know, where they had to go through a lot. And still they had been in kind of fringe organizations. When they first started, they may be just peaceful organizations, and then maybe the communists had gotten a hold of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we found ourselves many times about particular girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember one in particular, that the executive of the line, Frankfurt Portland. The year that this girl had been sent to Germany on a classified job. And then she came back here and her husband was up, you know. You know. She had someplace they would not at all. And they got charges against her for incoming. And so the executive had to go down. We were a lot of housewives.
That must have been a kind of a frightening time, though, of people looking to other people and kind of digging up stuff on other people.
Yeah, they had this red book that they got this from them to people, you know, calling dangerous or
something. Did they do that locally?
No, that was national.
It was a national thing, but did they do that at all locally with a list of...
No, I don't, not that I know.
Just informal.
No, I don't know.
Who is this?
The moving picture.
Oh, the Charlie Chaplin.
Well, all of their writers. They do. But I don't know. I look for consciousness.
Mm. But that part hit out L.A. area. Because of all the
Muslim
things. Going back a bit to the church, do you remember, when you first started, you said that when you first started working in the church, that the women's work really didn't interest you. That you didn't like their literature, it wasn't worth. What? Tell me a little bit about. Was it a bit like the clubs who emphasized dresses and
I don't know.
And
it didn't turn me on. It didn't turn me on at all.
What was the literature like? That you don't remember.
Yeah,
did it deal with
anything that was so much? Yeah, that's right. The thing that I felt about the women's organization was that they were just sitting with a lot of women sitting around gossiping.
So they were all divided.
This one, yes. This one.
Like a circle?
Ladies ate and this was something other and something other. No. After 39, when they began to unify and really began to go to work, then it was a different story.
Hmm.
You see.
So in 1939, the women's organization
began
to feel the
same. Really began. It took a while. They had different people. You still had the same people, and it took a little while to permeate.
What would the emphasis be different? Do you remember, like,
mission
changing from
gossip
to missions?
Well, I don't know. I think they were all supposed to be interested in missions, but that didn't have an awful lot of time down to that. Now,
That's just an observation.
And maybe in one group, you see, I had never been in any. But I was used to working a lot with blue women voters.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well,
you've mentioned that.
I joined the blue women voters and stayed with them for a while. But I couldn't get the time to really was required. They're very intense. And they make a full study of one issue before they adopt it. And that's their stance. And the committee work and all that was more time than I had to give, along with PGAs. So that I couldn't do that.
Was it a bit of, was the League of Women Voters a lobby organization in a sense where they choose and they try to get women to vote a certain way?
Well, it's nonpartisan. It's a nonpartisan organization.
Uh-huh.
But it's an issue oriented. Their main stress is on government organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think last year their study was regional government.
Mm-hmm.
That is statewide. They mentioned it. But they were always, they would make studies based on the school situation, and I'm sure they still do. I just look on the project.
So they were volunteer women to study situations,
and it's an entirely volunteer.
Emphasize or encourage people to vote a certain way based on their findings.
Well, they would
would take issue with you saying that they encouraged. They tried to furnish the facts.
Uh-huh. It was
make up your mind. Then you make up your mind. But they tried to furnish the facts. Then you can put out a little pamphlet, pro and con. And the difficulty with them is that they say, you know, that they give you so much information on both sides that you can't get the front about where you stand either.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they would use the word that they encourage people to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. They just refer to the fact that you make it come out.
What years were that you were involved in, and that you spent some time with them?
Oh, that was in the 30s.
But then you left them and went back to the churches when you moved?
Well,
yeah,
I was doing PTA and Thorny and Trample, and I couldn't do them all.
This is the parent education, what that was spending time on.
Well, but it's a great organization, the PTA. If you're president of the PTA, then see, I took on the organization at the PTA in high school after the earthquake. I was after 33. And yeah, it was a veteran of my life. So you just couldn't do it. So it was not a choice at some time. I could always do it. I feel like I had to give up the Trickling United to do this. You can't do both.
Between the PTA, the Women League of Voters, League of Women Voters, and the church, was there any kind of similarity in relationship to your work or women related to those organizations that you
same
were in? Or the things that you dealt with, were they different or the same? What made you